Then came the insidious monster, Hurricane Katrina, right about high hurricane season. Monday, August 29th, 2005. This Category 5 storm scourged the U.S. Gulf Coast at winds of about 165 miles an hour, with a surge of 29 feet, the highest ever recorded. This most devastating tragedy and deluge humbled not only sea and land, but it left everything in its path soaking wet and useless. Bodies, power lines, oil lines, residential and business districts were all rendered powerless as they lay in a hodgepodge of utter chaos, ranking perhaps number one in U.S. natural disaster history. A hurricane like Katrina packs the energy of a 10-megaton nuclear bomb exploding every 20 minutes. This mixture of storm plus flooding touched on some 6 states in the southern United States, sinking many parts in rubble and utter turmoil. New Orleans, which received an imperial blow from the disaster, had a levee system, a protective device against flooding, built to stand against a Category 3 hurricane. But on the dawn of that fateful day, Katrina hit New Orleans as a Category 4 hurricane, with winds that scaled to 140 miles an hour. On September 15th, 2005, over 700 people were reported dead and about 1 million or more persons displaced. The morning after the storm, someone would exclaim, "My Lord, what a morning." Pandemonium and disunity of relief coordination broke out in some places, as we are told. While some survivors attempted desperately to scramble whatever few pieces of their lives were left. Besides all the anarchy and blame game, for around 4 to 5 days, storm victims apparently felt that they were left to die. Whether it was inside a building, under floodwaters, or on the rooftop, people were writhing in agony for not only lack of drinking water and food, but also a lack of emotional and moral stability. Less than a month, approximately 24 days after Katrina, just as residents from the Gulf region thought that they would find fulfillment in a repatriation process, gloom was on the way once more. The exodus of millions of people just in the Houston, Texas area in preparation for Hurricane Rita was on the way. Rita was coming in at around 120 miles an hour, reinforcing the fears, frustrations, and devastating claims left by Katrina. It seemed as if the U.S. Gulf region was at once plagued with a terrible hand of calumny and brutal pillage. I have the premonition, though, that Katrina may be the beginning of things to come. How then does one pick up the pieces in life when all is shattered in one blast, or as one might put it, in a tempest of utter anguish? This avows the fragility and instability that underscores our human finiteness. Do you know what tomorrow will bring? Though many often tend to think of themselves as being secure, whatever that may mean, the world around them could collapse at any moment. After all, human life, as it turns out, is not substantiated by materialism, intellectualism, or egocentrism. This helps to turn a fresh page of courage for those dying in despair. Think of it this way. We are all humans going downstream in the same boat, and there's no way one can exist if there's no one else around. That ultimately translates to a need for a higher power. And if you dare think you can make it alone in this trying world all on your own virtue, then answer this. Where will you be tomorrow? Through all the affliction and mishaps of life, many seek some sort of resolution. Social operations move on, but many just get caught up in whatever wind that blows. Hence the spotlight of the next chapter, as we seek to grapple with the challenge of not so much modern living, as much as the prevalency of human restlessness.